You know, last Sunday, I didn't know that I was going to be doing the message this morning, to be honest. And that, but the Lord gave me this topic, and I thought it was for a month from now, which is what he usually does. And Tuesday, I found out that, no, I'm doing the message this morning. And that so it was appropriate that the Lord gave me the message early on. Now, to start, I want to, Neely, would you and David come on up, have a seat. I want to ask a couple of questions. Yeah, I'm putting, you guys need to know, I'm putting them on the spot. I haven't told them in advance what I'm going to ask them, so I have no idea how they're going to answer. This is totally unscripted, so, and that, but let's face it, the whole day is unscripted, and God is in charge, right? Okay, the reason I asked these two up there is because they're worship leaders. Right, and in worship, it's one of those words that I think every Christian feels like they know. Yeah, please turn it down, Bob. Everybody feels like you know what the word worship means in that. And I think today we may kind of blow your mind what the Bible says about worship. But anyway, Neely, what is spirit-led worship? What does that mean to you, and what does that look like?
Well, for me,
Is that mic
check
on? Oh, wow. There we go. Thank you.
I'm sure that the Lord works differently through.
I'm sure that the Lord works through through different people differently. To me, during before worship, he's always talking to me, and no matter what I'm doing, I could be driving in the car, I could be teaching at school or whatever, he's always talking to me, and every once in a while he'll throw in a word and puts it in my heart that ties it to a song that I feel he wants me to share with you guys. Other times it's during the sermon. But while we're up here singing, he's also talking to us there. And so, you know, we're... my main concern during worship is that that I am keeping my eyes focused on him, that I am actually listening for his prompting, and I am always concerned that and fighting my flesh, that I'm not letting anything get to my head, that it's not about, you're laughing, so I know that you go through the same thing. It's not about me. It's not showing off my talents. My talents were given to me by the Lord. Without him, I'm nothing. So to me, it's a, to be honest with you, up here in worship, it is a battle, a spiritual battle. But I feel connected with him through music. While I'm singing, when I'm not singing, there seems to always be a song in my heart. And I don't know if that's what you were looking for, but that's how I feel worship
is in my life. I'm looking for whatever the Lord gives you, Neely. And I think, personally, I've always thought, right, people that, the performers, singers and that, right, well, it's, please look at me, put a spotlight on me. And that's the, you know, the temptation for the folks that are up here on Sunday morning. And that, but we're not about worshiping them, right? It's the name tags that Leo brought in this morning. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about the Lord, right? And David, what does spirit-led worship mean to you? And I know that's a huge, you know, it's like, yeah, here's a one-hour sermon. Let's put it down into 3 minutes.
Lord, help me. I think spirit-led worship to me, if I were taking it, if we were at a coffee shop and you asked me this question.
Yeah. I should have warned you.
I think it means listening to the Holy Spirit and while you're doing what you're doing. I think for me, it means meaning what I'm saying. Mm. So if I'm singing a song, I need to think about what I'm saying and actually mean it. And I also would say that it's not about the worship leader. So it's about your posture. So I guess I'm just thinking through if you didn't have a worship leader, you could still have Like, sorry, if you don't have somebody who plays a guitar, in a sense, you could still have spirit-led worship because you are worshiping the Lord and listening to His Spirit and being led by Him. So in that sense, I think that's the simplicity of it, that you mean what you're saying, that you're listening to the Holy Spirit. And I would also say in some ways it's in, not some ways, it's very important that it's biblically based too. So yeah. I think those all are factors. Listening, meaning what you're saying, being honest. Yeah, and that is based in truth. So I think if you are being led by the Spirit, you'll be based in truth. That would be my answer.
Okay. Yeah. No. And we're gonna see scriptures to support what you're saying. Do you ever find that the Lord will take you planning on going here, and the Lord goes, "No, I want you to go over there," and you change course mid worship?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if it, my personal worship, absolutely. If I'm, yeah. For yes. So there's also like, if you're talking the practicals that. Aspect of leading, like in a church congregation, yes. And that's, I think the Holy Spirit can, in, okay, as a worship leader, I'm thinking of practicals here. Yeah. Like when I'm building a set, I always pray before I build a set.
Yeah.
And I ask the Lord to give me songs.
Yes.
And then when I hear, you know, we're also asking the same thing. I'm also honoring the leaders of the that I am serving alongside and under, their in a sense their authority, so I'm being respectful of Pastor Darren and conversations we've had, but also letting the Holy Spirit will lead you. So I don't think that they need to be in conflict at all.
Yeah, no, they
so,
shouldn't be.
Like, but at the same time, like I'm honoring Pastor Darren, but obviously I'm honoring God first. So.
Well, presumably you're both following him.
So exactly.
So you'd be in sequence.
Exactly.
Or in coordinating.
Exactly. So, yeah. And then if the Holy Spirit says something, I mean, God can do a lot of things that you would never expect.
Well, he changed us up this morning.
Okay. Exactly.
And guys, you thank them for all the times that they've given us. Let's see. Let's give it to Brett. Or give it to Natalie's going to be our... Or runner, okay. I have to admit, this is personal for me, right? And that I've been blessed times where I've been in worship, you can feel the presence of the Lord there, where it's almost like a heavy mist in the air. And that in having experienced that, I want it continually. But there's something else that I believe, and I'm going to support it with scripture this morning, that you know, worship isn't just 30 minutes on Sunday morning before Pastor Darren moves us into Hebrews. And I think worship for those who love the Lord is part of their everyday life. It's part of walking around, I was going to say in the mall. Nobody walks in the mall anymore. And that they walk around Walmart. And that, but, you know, that... We worship wherever we are, and so, like I say, this is very personal to me. And that, now, I'm going to start by saying what worship isn't, okay? And I'm probably going to make somebody mad. And that, don't blame me. This the Lord is convicting you, not me. That, but here's what I think worship isn't, right? Worship isn't a show or a concert. Right? We had evidence that this morning, right? You know, the fireworks didn't go off. Right? And yet, didn't we feel that we were worshiping this morning? We don't need a smoke machine. Right? And that worship is about the Lord. Right? And that it's not a sing-along. Right? It's not how good can I sing to the words that are up on the screen. That's not what it's about. Right? It's not just emotional hype. Like you say, I love... feeling the presence of the Lord and that, but I can't hype that up emotionally. The Lord has to do it. You know, it's not about some kind of emotional high and that it's about having the Lord's presence with you. Right? It's not time to visit the restroom. Right? Yeah, especially today. I don't know, Jason, where's Jason? Did he get it fixed? I don't even know. At any rate, right, you know, in some of our minds, it's like, well, if I need to get up while Pastor Darren's teaching, it's going to be very obvious. People are standing, I can slip out during worship. Really? You would rather slip out on God than slip out on Pastor Darren? Right? Now please, he's not going to see this and that because we can't record it. So don't tell him that I said slip out on him. Don't go there. That's not fair. And that, right? It's not just a fill-in before the sermon. Right? You know, I understand that, you know, we're grateful that Pastor Darren brings the Word of God each Sunday morning. And that, but worship is not just a fill-in that, oh yeah, well you have to church on Sunday morning, you have to have some singing. That's not it, right? Right? And it's not a time for latecomers to arrive. It's like, okay, well, it's okay if I'm a little late. I'll just miss a little time of worship. All right? I found this quote from A.W. Tozer that I thought was interesting. I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. Ooh. Okay. You know, so treating worship that way is missing a real blessing. Right? And goodness, I want all of us to be blessed by worship. Okay, now, when I was in high school, right, my extracurricular activities weren't sports because I'm clumsy, and that it was the school paper. Right? In the school paper, we had a teacher, an old Irish newspaper man, Mr. Heafy. And he told us that anytime you went to get a story, right, you wanted to get the four W's and an H. Who, what, why, where, and how? Those are the questions you want to answer and put in your article. Right? I'm going to use that framework for worship this morning. So let's start with who. Oh, before I start with who, I want to share, you guys know I like goals, right? I thought I only had one goal this morning, to change how we worship, right? Driving over, I think the Lord gave me a second goal, to not only change how we worship, but how the change in our worship will change our relationship with the Lord. Okay, now let's get into the who. Right? Well, right, let's start with the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? You ever think about the vastness of the universe? Right, you know, we've got the Hubble telescope goes out, I don't know how many miles. I have no idea. A long ways. Yeah, there's the answer. A long, long ways. God created all of that. The planets, the stars, the galaxies, right? I mean, you know, it's funny. I mean, you know, I think I've told you my dad was a design electrical engineer. He has 5 patents in that. How many patents could God have creating the universe? There's a big number, right? Yeah, you ever marvel at the mind of the Lord that can create the universe? You want an example? See that picture? I'm sorry. I'm glad I asked the question. I guess maybe I should move around a little bit. Okay. And at the M51 Dust Cross, in the heart of the Whirlpool Galaxy, the NASA Hubble Space Telescope captured a dark X silhouetted across the galaxy's nucleus. This striking cross shape is created by thick crisscrossing rings of cosmic dust and gas hiding in a supermassive black hole. You think about that? In the furthest reaches of space, God puts a cross? Well, what does the scripture say? Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. See, God's fingerprint, the universe, God's thumbprint. Well, okay, let's take it to the other side. We're going to take it down to the cell level. Well, actually smaller than that, the molecular level. Something called laminin. Laminin is a vital glycoprotein network in the extracellular matrix of animals functioning, get this, as the molecular glue that holds tissues together. Get that? The molecular glue that holds tissues together. Structurally, it is composed of three polypeptide chains coiled into a cross-shaped structure. Well, what does Scripture say? Colossians 1:17, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Amazing. All right. Now, as big as God is, and no, that's not a picture of me 5 years ago, for the record, as big as God is, all right, He still cares about you and me. Right? Luke 12:17, and I pulled this from the Message Bible because I think they just did a great job of saying it. What's the price of two or three pet canaries? Some loose change, right? But God never overlooks a single one, and He pays even greater attention to you, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. And yes, I'm making it easier for Him each year. But how much God cares for you, right? Ephesians 2:10, one of my favorite verses. For we are God's handiwork, work of His hands, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Think about that. Every person here, God put good works for you to do before you were created. You weren't put here by accident. You were put here with a purpose that God put in your life before you were born. Now, I don't know about you, but can we all agree that God is worthy of worship? Can I get an amen to that? Well, let's look at the what. What is worship? Right? I mean, we typically think of worship as being 30 minutes of singing, you know, hopefully most times with words up on the screen. Right? Well, you know me, I'm a word nerd. Right? So I wanted to look and see what the Hebrew and Greek had to say about it. Right? The Hebrew, the shaka, to prostrate in homage to royalty or God, bow down, crouch, fall down, humbly beseech, do obeisance, do reverence. The Greek, proskuneo, to fawn or crouch to, prostrate oneself in homage to adore. Now, I think about it, right? And it's easy for us to worship all kinds of things in this world. We can worship our football teams when they win the Super Bowl, right? We can worship celebrities, right? I mean, my 65 Chevy, I've got a license plate that reads awesome. Awesome is spelled with two S's because it's a super sport model. But, you know, the truth is no car is worthy of awe. Only God is. Right? Now, I don't think worship is not just physical. Right? You don't have to be on your knees like this young man to worship God. Right? Real worship includes your heart. Comes from your heart, you really mean it, comes from your soul, right? It's a spiritual thing, It includes your mind. Your mind has to be in agreement with God. And it takes your strength. When that begins worship, it's an active word. It's an active verb. Right? Worship recognizes God's glory. Right? Well, we just went over that He is worthy, worthy of praise, right? It's enabled by the Holy Spirit living within us, right? It is based in truth and on God's word, right? We are reminded over and over to worship God, and we're reminded how to do it. We're going to spend more time on that here in a minute or two, right? Worship can be expressed as a group like we just did, or individually. You can worship at home or in your car all by yourself. Right? Worship recognizes God's love for us. Right? And it proclaims our love for Him. Right? What did Jesus answer when they asked Him about the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's worship. Right? Worship is an attitude. It's interesting. When I'm worshiping God, I can't be worshiping myself. I can't be worshiping someone else. I can only worship Him. It's an attitude. When I'm angry, when I'm unforgiving, and forgiveness can be very hard. It can be very hard because people do some nasty things in this world. But when I'm holding unforgiveness, it's really hard to worship the Lord. It's about a relationship with Him. Worship is part of our relationship with the Lord. But what I'm trying to get at this morning is it's a lifestyle. It's part of who we are as believers every day. Right? Now, why do we worship? Well, because we're commanded to worship the Lord. Right? Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. We worship Him because He's holy. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Wonder why we should worship God? Because He has blessed us in heavenly realms with blessings. Think about that. He's created blessings for you and me in heaven waiting for us. I think He's worthy of praise. 1 Corinthians says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. All right. We're commanded to worship in whatever we do. I guess that means in our work, in our play, in our spare time. Right. Revelation 5 said, then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. Right? When we worship the Lord here on earth, we're getting a foretaste of what heaven will be like, the worship that we'll have there. Now, we worship because we want to worship the Lord. As believers, we want to worship the Lord. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Right? The Lord is good. Right? We can count on that. Right? When we face trials, tribulation, challenges, right, we can count on the fact that the Lord is good. That should lead us to want to worship Him. Right? Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." I don't know about you. This world seems like it's being shaken right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I look to see the news in the morning, and you wonder what's going on overnight.
Right.
And you don't know what's going to happen next. And that we came in this morning to a shaken sanctuary, right? And yet, the kingdom that we're receiving, the godly heavenly kingdom, cannot be shaken. We can count on it. We don't have to check the news to see where it is, what it's like, right? But then in the second half of that verse, right, worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. It's not just kind of, oh, I'm gonna sing these songs, but I don't really mean it. A little bit like what David was saying, right? It has to come from my heart when I'm worshiping the Lord. Right? We worship the Lord because worshiping gives us a glimpse of heaven and brings us to the throne of the Lord. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Right. Worshiping brings us closer to our heavenly home. Right now, worship changes the atmosphere. I talked about it a minute ago when I said there's times that you could feel the presence of the Lord, right? I love the story in Acts 16, right? You know, where Paul and Silas, they've been commanded not to preach in Jesus' name and thrown in jail. Right? Verse 25 says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." In other words, they were worshiping. "And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose." Right. There was a change in the spiritual atmosphere based on what happened with Paul and Silas. Right. We're reminded in 2 Chronicles of a second time. Right. "The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. The singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, 'He is good, His love endures forever.'" Sound familiar? What was said in heaven? "Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God." Worship can change our physical atmosphere. It can change our spiritual atmosphere. Where do we worship the Lord? All right, well, if worshiping God means recognizing who He is and showing our love and reverence for Him, we can worship everywhere. Everywhere. 1 Chronicles, I think I misspelled that, did I? No, I don't.
Yes.
Okay. No. I'm sorry that it's wrong. "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples." And, right? All the earth is to worship the Lord. That means worship can take place everywhere. Right, I mean, we can worship Him in church, as well we should, but we can worship Him at home, at work, in our cars, wherever we are. You go, well, really? I don't know if I can worship at work. Right? Well, how about how? How do we worship? Well, we worship the Lord in song like we did this morning. Psalm 100. By the way, Psalms, it's interesting. You think about Psalms, right? We read the Psalms, and all we have is the words, right? But the Psalms were originally music. We don't have the musical part of it. And so when you think about it, Psalms is a book of worship songs, mostly written by King David to the Lord. Well, here's what was written in Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. We are to worship the Lord in songs like we do on Sunday morning. But that doesn't have to be the only time. We can worship him in songs while we listen to Joy FM or, you know, whatever channel you have on Pandora or you know, your music station, right? We can worship him in our minds and with our bodies, right? Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, right? God's called us. He's forgiven us. That's his mercy. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Right now, hopefully, well, I shouldn't say that. I take that back. It's unlikely that any of us will face a situation where it's like, denounce the Lord or I'm going to take your life. That's unlikely to happen to any of us. Right? But it will happen that there's times that the Lord says, I want you to talk to this person. I want you to pray for that person. I want you to do this thing of service. I want you to serve your church here. Right? Right? That's offering our bodies as a sacrifice. That's a form of worship. Did it ever occur to you that whether you're leading worship, delivering a message, or taking out the trash after church, that you're worshiping? But you are. What a profound message, right? Here's what Billy Graham said. The highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. I think Billy knew what he was talking about. We can worship the Lord with our hearts. Right? Isaiah 29 says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. I'm going to tell you a story. Mary Kate and I were baby believers, right? This would have been mid-1980s, right? And to be honest, I was kind of full of myself. I was a certified financial planner, you know, dressed in pinstripe suits, wearing expensive Italian shoes. She's a CPA. I thought we were hot stuff, right? Back then, we were dinks, dual income, no kids. That's what they called people. I thought we were special. Well, they say we were baby believers at that point. Friends of ours, they were part of a Presbyterian church, and he's probably long gone now. A fellow by the name of Neil Frank, he was the fellow from NOAA in Miami, the Hurricane Center, right? And when the hurricanes came, he was the guy that all the networks went to interview for their... All right, well, he was going to come tell his testimony at the evening Sunday evening service at this church, right? Church is, maybe half again and bigger than ours. So it wasn't a larger church. So we're there in the evening, right? And there was a time of worship before. Well, we start worshiping. Well, there's a couple behind us, right? A couple of little old people, about our age now. And they were singing very loud and very off-key. Noticeably loud and noticeably off-key, where people were actually turning around to stare at what was going on. Now, me thinking, I don't want, you know, we're strangers in this church. I don't want them to think this is us, right? You know, so, you know, I'm closing my mouth. I'm not singing so they can see that the noise is not coming out of my mouth, right? You know, it's like over my shoulder here. You know, and I told that story that way for a few years, right? Before the Lord convicted me with this verse, right? Because they were singing from their heart. They truly were worshiping the Lord. I wasn't. I was worshiping Gary. They were the true worshipers. Now, I don't know if God has some filter that made their music sound in tune or not. Right. You know, and the funny thing, right, is now, you know, 40 years later, right, I can't sing on tune anymore. I have a range of about a quarter of an octave in that. But I hope my heart's in a little better place than it was 40 years ago. We can worship the Lord by our obedience, right? I think we all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They replied to King Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter," right? What was the matter? He told them to bow down to this golden statue of him. "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." We worship the Lord by our obedience. We can worship the Lord in our work. Right? Colossians tells us, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." I have to admit it. I hate it. No, I shouldn't say I hate it, but it's bad when Christians go, "Well, I'm working at a secular, my boss is a stinker, I'm going to do the least amount possible." We give Christians a bad reputation when we do things like that. We should work for the Lord. Now, you can work for the Lord by honoring him, doing a full day's work, going the extra mile. And that, now, that doesn't mean that you're just honoring your boss. You're honoring the Lord there. And you can honor him in truth. And that, right? Rick Warren says, "Work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and perform it with the awareness of his presence." Right? Think about that, right? I mean, there's been times when I've worked for other people in my life, and feeling the Lord's presence as I was going through tough times, you know, where I had bosses that I really didn't like, and that feeling his presence and knowing that I was working for the Lord made all the difference in the world, made it possible. How do we worship the Lord? We worship the Lord spirit to spirit. Right. John 4 tells us, and this is the words of Jesus, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." Real worship, right? If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And the Holy Spirit wants to worship the Lord. We worship in spirit. And we worship in truth. Right? How many Bible verses have we included this morning? What does the scripture tell us? That we're to worship the Lord. Right? So, in kind of conclusion, and I think, Jason, I'm going to need you up here for something here in a minute. Right, worship is God's children acknowledging him for who he is and what he's done. It's returning his love for us with our love for him. And everything that we think, say, and do. As I said, psalms are worship songs. Right? So I want to highlight two of them to close. All right, and then I think I'm going to ask David to come back up and lead us in Amazing Grace one more time. Psalm 150. "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You and I have breath, breath that he's given us. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord God is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues for all generations. Now let's stand, and we don't have the words for Amazing Grace, do we? Okay, we're gonna do it without the words, and then after Amazing Grace, I'll bring us up for a closing.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears, grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first, believed. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Has promised good to me.
The Lord has promised good.
His word my hope secures.
His word my hope secures.
He will my shield and portion be.
He will my shield and portion be.
As long as life endures. My chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love.
flesh shall soon dissolve like snow. The earth shall soon
dissolve like snow.
The sun forbear. The sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here below.
But God has called me here below.
Will be forever.
Be
forever mine. Be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are. You are
George, Jason, Neely, David for making adjustments for worship this morning. Close with a question. How will my worship be different this week? How will my life be different this week? And join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you make sense out of chaos, Lord God. You truly are awesome and worthy of our worship. We have the ability to worship you wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Lord, I ask that you help us to do that, Lord. Not only that your name be glorified, but we would be continually reminded of who you are and how much you love us, Lord. How much you want a relationship with us. So Lord, I ask your blessing on this body. Lord, keep us near you in the days and years and eternity to come, Lord. We especially thank you for Jesus, our Savior. His name that we pray and we come before you. All God's children said, amen. 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 Have a blessed week, everyone. Jerry.